you know, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running
are
in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. So care about
bumper speakers. Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the Thrive Tropics of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, episode number 358. Wow, it's been a long time. You just heard Sunsets and Silhouettes by the band Tarachan Sky, and with me on the phone right now is the lead guitarist and backing vocals of that band, Jacob Parks. And I messed your name up. Jacob Parks. What's up, man?
How are you? No, I'm all right. How are you? I'm working out of town.
Sounds like you have reverb on.
I'm in the bathroom.
There's a surprise. If you follow Jacob on Facebook at all, can I call you Jake?
Yeah, that's what people call me. It's just Jacob on Facebook and stuff.
If you follow Jake, you'll see his videos where he invites you out to see Tarachan Sky play, and the bathroom scene would make sense to you. There were a few, right? I remember at least two.
There's a couple that, you know, they're just out of hand, but hey, it gets people out. It gets people showing up.
So, I already know the answer to this first question, but it's cool, and I'd like you to explain it. So, where did the name Tarachan Sky come from?
Well, when we put the band together, it's kind of hard to find a band name nowadays. You can Google an idea of a band name and find out that it's taken right away. It's hard to find a band name. It has to be unique. So after a couple weeks of discussing band names, we kind of come up with the idea to take parts of our major influences, you know, because all the guys in the band, we pretty much have similar tastes. And so we got Terra, as in Pantera, Chain, as in Alice in Chains, and Sky from Skinner. But we didn't want to say Terra Chain Sky. Like, we wanted to be unique, so we decided to pronounce it as Tarachan Sky. And it was hot, like sriracha sauce, Tarachan Sky.
I can actually see that conversation going on in my head right now. And I don't know if you realize how much you guys are being talked about within this area and even Ohio right now. In fact, we recorded the second episode of Podcast Your Scene last night, which is John Lane from the American Hilljack Files, Brian Schaefer from the Weekly Rock Blog, and myself talking about the local scenes, because John's from Ohio, and things like last night we talked about pay to play and things like that. And believe it or not, we're talking about that kind of stuff, and you came up in the conversation again.
Well, thanks. we really don't know how much is being said about us. It's kind of breathtaking when we find out.
It's, you know, you impressed a lot of people here back in November at the Leechburg Moose, about 500 feet from here. John was talking about how he and the Hellfire Club want to sound like you guys sound.
I think we almost sound pretty similar. I think they got it on us there. They got a little bit of heavier approach, and we want to be heavy as well, because, you know, that's where we all came from, was heavy bands, but we just had to dumb it down to get more, you know, a broader acceptance from crowd.
Well, I have to tell you, when you guys play, you can definitely hear all three of those influences in every song. I mean, and they don't sound like you can kind of get Pantera and Alice in Chains together, but you wouldn't think Skinner would fit in there, but it's there.
Yeah, it's that Southern feel, that Southern rock feel, just juiced up a little bit. I mean, not all of our material is that way.
Well, the stuff, the stuff that that I've heard, especially, and the thing, like, when you played the Pennsylvania Rock Show anniversary, and by the way, thanks for doing that.
No problem at all, man.
I had not seen you guys live yet, and I went strictly off of your album, which I was told later you guys recorded in somebody's living room. And
yeah, we did that in my mom's apartment, in my living room, in my garage. It was done from a laptop. So it's kind of mobile.
I mean, it was, you know, I heard you and I'm like, I have to get them involved in what I'm doing. And then I was really, really excited when you agreed to play. And then you guys came, and this is going to sound like a backhanded compliment, but you're even better live. And it was awesome.
Well, we appreciate it. Definitely. We appreciate the compliments. That is our main goal. Like, we want our CD to sound clean. They want to be somewhat easier on the ear. But when you come out to a live show, what are you going to see? You're not just going to listen. You want to see it. You want to see the energy and make people feel the music and understand what you're singing about. And if you put the show on and show everybody exactly how you feel inside about it, or just how happy you are to be there, it's a game changer.
That's John said last night that they were actually afraid to go on after you.
Them guys kicked so much ass. I was so blown away. When they started playing, I'm like, oh my. And actually, I'm not sure. I can't remember the guitar player's name, but he plays the same amp as our other guitar player, Tyler, the Marshall JVM.
Was it Dave, the bald guy? Or
the bald.
Yeah,
Dave. He wears the ball cap. Yeah. Yeah, Dave.
And then Damon's the guy with the long hair.
Mm-hmm.
And
So I mean, the tones in the bands are, you know, we could kind of match up a little bit, but we dug their style full on.
they
play Pantera.
Yeah, they do that. They do that well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When you guys were going for a little while, I walked over to John. I was like, "Hey, I haven't heard Nick yell somebody scream yet." John does that a lot.
Yeah. But hey, you got to get everybody involved in a show. I mean, it's crazy. We're learning these things as a band. We're going almost, it's about 2.5 years since we played our first show. So it's all the things you pick up, you know. How do you keep people involved? How do you keep them entertained? Don't let them drift off, you know. We don't want to be the people that when you go to see a band, I'm going to step off and grab a beer. I'll be right back. I don't even want people to do that. I want them to stay the whole time.
Well,
kind of selfish, but that's our goal. We just want to blow you away.
You don't want to have that song like the ballad where people go, oh, I can go get a drink now.
But we do. We have the ballads.
I am.
And it's crazy to think.
I'm actually a fan of ballads. My all-time favorite song is Beth by Kiss, which is...
That's a great song. Who doesn't like that song?
Yeah, and it's definitely a ballad.
Yeah.
So, have you heard of the band Alter the Design?
I've heard of them, but I don't think I've heard them yet.
Okay, well, here's what you're going to do. Friday, when I release this show, you're going to listen to the show, which you would probably do anyway since you're on it, and you will get to hear one of their songs after we're done with the interview.
All right.
I believe I'm going to play their song Hollowed Dream, which was a hard decision. That's who I was listening to when I messaged you and said I had to listen to two more songs. They have a 7-song disc out. They released it November 18th. And excellent. I listened, this is about the 5th time I listened through it, and I couldn't decide which song I was going to play.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
It's good news. You hear of local bands having music like that. It's just gripping you.
And I think you guys could probably play with them as well.
We'd like to.
So
play pretty much anywhere and everywhere.
You mentioned that you've been together for about 2.5 years, but I'm assuming you have a little bit of history before that, where you were in other bands.
Oh yeah. Yes. Yeah. Me and the drummer, one of my first bands, I actually started a band with him when I was 14 years old. We played like the Lawrence County Fairgrounds and, you know, some other things. And we played together for on and off like 4 years with that band. Mm-hmm. Then I moved on to another band, which everybody else but the drummer was in at one point in time. Members change and whatnot, but we played like heavy metal. We played like Lamb of God, Pantera, Hatebreed, wrote a lot of our own stuff. And once I wrote the first CD and recorded it, I kind of had to go through the musical community and ask my friends, are you interested? And they all jumped on board. It's been awesome ever since.
So, you wrote everything on Miss Daisy Duke, or is it more of a collaboration?
We have an album before that that's not really.
Oh, you know what? And
for,
I think,
like, purchase or anything.
I think you sent me some of it. I was just in that. I was just in that directory, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. Give me a second.
Okay.
All my music is on an external drive that's currently unplugged. I'm not going to be able to do this. Unspoken. Was it Unspoken?
Yeah, that's it.
Look at
that's
that.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an 11-song album. I recorded that all by myself and actually sang on the first version of that. But then, I met Nick, our singer, and he wanted to try out for the band. He was the last edition, pretty much. And we re-recorded the vocals and kept it like that.
I think he's a nice fit.
But it's not for, like, what's that?
He's a nice fit with you guys.
He's an amazing guy. That's all I can say.
You know,
he's good. Christian Hart.
The best thing I can say, well, there's lots of good things I can say about bands, but the one thing that really stuck with me when you guys were done was he walked off the stage and he was thanking everyone. And he said, I hope that we were easy to work with. And you don't normally hear that.
And, he's humble and, you know, he's there to be a positive force. And that's kind of one of the things we discuss. You know, we're all running off stage, packing all our stuff up, and everyone's helping everybody. But kind of like, Nick, why don't you go out into the crowd and talk to people? Because that's what you're great at doing. Let us take care of this. Just go do your thing. So that's kind of like the plan. He's supposed to do that.
Well, he's good at it. So did he just earn a bonus?
Yeah.
So, what does the writing process go like for you guys?
Well, usually,
I mean, I see, so far, see the videos where you and Nick are sitting there playing acoustic. Does it start out that way?
A lot of times, yeah, it does. As we pitch ideas back and forth to each other, and we'll help each other mold the song together. And they're like, I got this awesome riff. I got this killer verse, but I don't know what to do for a chorus. Or, you know, I don't know what chord progression to use. And literally, we can sit with each other for a night or two and have an album written. It's that easy to work with him.
Wow.
It's that's pretty much how it goes. That we sit, discuss, bring our ideas to the table and put it together. And then we bring it into the rest of the band. We all learn our parts, and that's the song.
That must be nice.
It is nice, but it's confusing at times because you have so much material to work with, but you don't have the time to put it together as a band. with practice and shows. So we're working on our third album right now, which is pretty much written, but it's getting everybody on the same board and all the parts learned and figured out before we can actually record it.
Do you have a timeline on that? Like, when you think you'll release it?
We're hoping by February. That is our goal right now.
Wow, that's pretty quick.
Yeah.
I'm getting
like a, I said all this.
I'm getting a copy of that, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you'll be one of the first ones to receive it.
Yeah, I know I keep saying awesome, but I can't think of a better word. Everyone was so pumped when you guys were playing, and you know, I'm trying to think where I. Oh, you played the band jam, right?
Yeah,
I think that's where I first saw you guys. I believe I saw a video from the band jam, and I was like, I gotta track them down.
Well, we're glad you found us.
Utah and I go back a ways. My AK music scene website, the one that I featured you on recently.
Yeah.
He actually helped me come up with the name for that website, and he paid for the domain the first year. Right. So
he's an awesome guy.
He is.
That guy's at the grassroots show. So kind, and so they do so much just as you do for local bands and music and good causes, you know?
Uh-huh.
And that's what we want to be a part of. We love doing it. We love helping people out. And you would think a band would make money, but as everybody knows, you don't.
No.
You don't. And so the best part of it is playing to help someone else. Using your skills and what you love to do to help turn around and help someone else out.
That's kind of what I'm doing here, because, you know, I like local music, and I really think that there's enough talent here in Western Pennsylvania that we could turn into LA if the right person heard. And I'm trying to help that right person here. But I've often told people that I'm going to be the Suge Knight of AK music scene, or of the AK Valley. He's a big guy. I'm a big guy. Although he's kind of gangster and I'm not, but you get the idea.
Yeah, I got you.
You know,
big Suge Damiano.
I think the biggest comparison between the two of us is we're big guys. After that, we're pretty different. So I'm going to ask you the question that we talked about on Podcast Your Scene, and we'll use that as a way to get people to go listen to Podcast Your Scene. It's podcastyourscene.com. But the question we were talking about last night was pay to play, and what your opinion is on that type of situation.
Oh, that's a tricky, touchy subject. Pay to play. Got to sell tickets or buy the rest of them just to be able to open for touring act.
Yeah.
Is that what you're referring to?
Yep, that's exactly what I'm referring to. And you're a younger band, so in comparison to Brian and John's bands, so I'm betting you're going to have a different opinion than they did.
It's a double-edged sword. It's a touchy subject, I guess, because being a younger, unpopular band nobody knows about, we've had to do them gigs just for our own good, to let people see us, let a bigger group of people see us at one point in time. Because when we're doing the gigs in the bars in our hometown, there might be a packed bar, there may not be, but they probably all seen us already. So, you know, we don't do it on a regular basis, but if we see that there's a band that we like, you know, we'll contact someone to see if we can open for them. But it's a struggle trying to sell all them tickets, you know, get all your friends to go on a Tuesday or a Wednesday.
Yeah, they're almost always a weekday.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. What do you do? Yeah. Preferably, I'd rather not. I'd rather just, you know.
That's when I asked the question initially, as I was asking the question, Brian's yelling in the backwards, don't do it.
Yeah.
They both seem to not like the situation, but they also said there's a right way to do it. And if you find the right person doing it the right way, then you should do it. But that seems to be few and far between from the stories I've heard.
But I'm seeing different sides and different things. I mean, I guess if you're a touring band, you know, things aren't like the old days, I'm guessing, where you make a lot of money. That promoter, whoever the company may be, has to pay that band X amount of money. And you're the best shot to cover that.
Right.
By having tickets sold. Understood. But still, it is a hassle and it really kills sometimes. Because you can't always get these, you know, your friends and your family to show up. So what do you end up doing? Because you're stubborn and you want to play, you're going to pay. Because right. You want that opportunity.
So you're in the hole.
Yeah. And we were already in the hole, so what's the big deal, guys? I think we owe our guitar player $5,000 for maxing out his credit cards on our sound system. So,
yikes. have you guys played with any touring bands? Any names you want to drop?
There was one band that I thoroughly enjoyed opening for. They were all genuine people. Two bands, actually, I can say. Apocalypse Blues Review is actually half a Godsmack. Oh, cool. The one guitar player and drummer. They started a blues band. And they picked up the bass player from, what is it, Blackfoot?
Okay.
He's in the band. They, you know, all great guys talked to us. You know, actually sat down. And spoke to us. It was awesome. And when we first started, we got to open for a band called Charm City Devils out of Baltimore.
I've heard
they are on Nikki Six's record label, I think.
Okay, that's why I heard of it.
Same thing.
I tried
an actual band that would sit down and talk to us.
I tried to get Nikki to let me interview him, but he never responded to my email.
Imagine that.
He may be a little above my level. But I tried anyway. What about venues that you've played? What's been your favorite venue?
As of right now, it's a mix up between the Rex Theater, because I don't know, every time we play there we get a good draw. There's a good feedback from the crowd. They enjoy our music. But we played Club Diesel a couple of times, and the sound and light show in there was amazing.
I've seen some pretty cool pictures there where they have like the band's logo on the wall behind them, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah. We felt like rock stars when we played there. I mean, it's not a huge venue, but they do have a balcony and stuff. But the lighting in there and the sound is just, you know, you do feel like a rock star when you play.
Do they have a green room with M&Ms?
I wouldn't know that. Not important enough for that stuff. More like put your stuff someday on stage and get off.
Someday.
Mm-hmm. I wish.
If you could open for any band, who would it be and why?
Blackstone Cherry. I really enjoyed the band Blackstone Cherry. They, their music just—it hits me. It's exactly what I want music to sound like when I listen to it. And it's just, you know, I seen them live in Erie a couple months ago, and the energy that they put off is just amazing. It's got that real gritty Southern rock modern Southern rock style that we, you know, kind of try to pull off.
You pull it off. So it fits. You're good.
Thanks.
I am looking for a specific flyer right now because I want to make sure I asked the question correctly. There it is. See if it'll open for me. It doesn't want to open. There it goes. Okay. So on January 21st, you will be playing at the Empire Concert Club and Bar in Akron, Ohio on a show that they've dubbed Rubber Meets Steel with the Hellfire Club and Destroyer Court being from Ohio or Akron, the Rubber City, and then you and After the Fall being from the Steel City. And my question to you is, how bad do you feel for those two bands that are on the side of the flyer with the Cleveland Browns helmet?
I don't want to say. Because it's not a reflection of the band. You know? They're bands. I mean, the Hellfire Club's obviously awesome. But yeah, I feel bad that they're on the Browns side. I can't wait to hear the other band. I'm pumped.
Yeah, I haven't heard them either.
Anytime you get to hear a new band, you're just like, I hope it kicks ass. And usually it does.
Yeah. When John posted that flyer, Matt Franny, the drummer from After the Fall, almost immediately said, boy, am I glad I'm on the Pittsburgh side of that thing.
I seen that. I gave it a like.
And John made the comment. Okay. John has made the comment that he wishes he was on the Pittsburgh side of it.
He's actually from PA, isn't he?
Yeah, I can't remember. He's lived in Katanning and Butler, but I can't remember which one was first. And he's been a part of this scene, and he's been a part of that scene, and he's toured. And speaking of the devil, he's messaging me right now. He did a USO tour in Korea, I believe. With the band Alistair Wilde. I don't know if you've heard of that. I'm sure you've heard of, and of course I blank on his first name, Randy Rhoads.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, Randy Rhoads has a brother named Kelly, who was in Alistair Wilde with John. You can actually, if you Google Alistair Wilde and John Lane, it comes up on, I think it's Blabbermouth, you know, one of those metal websites. Mm-hmm. John is listed on Blabbermouth.
Okay. That's pretty awesome.
And he's been signed to a couple of small labels. He was on a label called Dream State with his band FMA, which was a big joke on podcast you're seeing. I don't want to give too much away. But you need to go listen to podcast you're seeing when it shows up on Saturday. All right. But the band name was when they got signed, it was changed to Full Motion Animation. But that's not what it was. Same initials. It's something different. And he was talking about how the labels want you to change this and change that and change this, and he was against that. And I'm like, well, you change your band name. And he's like, I voted against it. But he's definitely he's made for the stage, I think.
He's a definitely awesome performer.
And the hat adds to it.
It does.
Had you played with any of the bands that you played with the night of the Pennsylvania Rock Show, or were they all new for you?
All new to me. You'd be surprised, like musicians network and stuff. But I'm a dad with two kids. I work a full-time job. When I get on the internet, I try to promote my band and check into other things that are going on. Mm-hmm. But I'm just not with it. I don't know about a lot of the other bands in the music scene. But when I get to meet them face to face and see them in person live, you get to know and that's what it's taken. Go out and play shows with other bands that you're on bills with, and you finally, have you heard of them? No. Have you heard of them? Yeah, I do. I have now.
Well, if you pay attention to my show, you can learn about a lot of bands.
You're right.
Including yours. I'm sure some people that are going to be listening to this will be like, I never heard of them. And then they're going to listen, and then you are going to hear from them. Because you know, you guys are, I know I probably sound like I'm just blowing smoke up your ass, but you guys are really, really good. And you know, I think if the right person hears you, you're going to be set. I don't say that to everybody.
We definitely appreciate the compliment. That's what the goal is here with us. We don't want to stop, and we're not going to, you know, we're not going to let anything, any momentum get away from us. We want to stay steady and try to find that person that wants to hear us. You know, so far we've gone to Texas and Chicago, a little bit in Ohio, but around the Pittsburgh area mainly. We're not scared to go anywhere. Anywhere that'll take us, give us a shot, we'll go, because we all have that desire. This is what we want to do for a living.
Would you pull a Metallica and play in Antarctica if they asked you to?
Yeah. Of course. The only time we don't play a show that we're offered is if there's something in our immediate families. You know, there's conflicting issues. Mm-hmm. But there's been times where there's six of us. If one of us can't make it, we try to pick up the slack. And the guys in the band are all multi-talented. Like, the drummer couldn't make it, so I played drums for a show. Uh-huh. The guitar players, yeah. And our bass player now joined us in February. He plays drums and sings and guitar. A lot of us can switch. It sucks to do because you get into a groove and everything's usually perfect, but yeah, if need be, we can do it.
I there was a band. It was Utah, actually. The band was called Bum. It's Bruce, Utah, and Marty. And they used to right in the middle of their set, they would switch. Like, they would literally hand each other instruments and move. And all of them played, you know, they were just a three-piece. So there was guitar, bass, and drums. And I don't think Marty played the drums, but Utah and Bruce both did drums and guitar. And Marty would do guitar and bass. And I think Bruce and Utah both played bass too. So I'm pretty sure everybody did everything except, as I said, I don't think Marty played the drums. But and how unique that name is. Bum. And then Bum. Their saying was, everybody likes Bum.
Oh, that's awesome.
Down.
was brand new music from Alter the Design off their new album, Welcome to Our Nothingness. And the track was called Hollowed Dream. This is something I don't usually do, but right after this portion of the podcast, John Lane from the American Hilljack Files and Podcast Arsene joined us. And he kind of took over. And instead of putting that on the Pennsylvania Rock Show, it turned into part of his episode 9 of the American Hilljack Files. You can find that at aproradio.com. And coincidentally, it was my debut on the American Hilljack Files. I've never been on his show. He's been on mine quite a few times, although he has 9 episodes and I have 358. But we're going to end things on episode 358 by playing Skell Snowplow. Make sure you check us out weekly at parockshow.com, at aproradio.com for John's American Hilljack Files. You get a weekly rock blog for Brian Schaefer's show. And if you'd like to hear all three of us talking monthly, where we cover something that has to do with local music scenes, you can check us out at podcastyourscene.com.